Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
was, who was and who is and is to come, our Messiah. Oh, we bless your name, Jesus. What an awesome God. An awesome God we serve. We bless you, Father. We praise you. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. My soul cried this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed is the one who was and is to come. Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving your only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you, O Father. Thank you for caring for us, loving us enough to give your Son as a living sacrifice through the cross to the world. We bless you this morning. We pray this morning. We pray this morning for the airways, the trailways, the waterways. Lord, we pray that all will go well in the air for those that are flying today. All will go well on the water for those that are on a cruise, on cruises, and all will go well for those that are traveling by trainway or even by motor car or by bus this morning. We pray this morning for traveling mercy. We pray this morning for traveling mercy over the airways. We bless your name this morning. And we praise you, Father, for loving us, for caring for us. In the midst of all that's going on in this world today, Holy Father, we invite your presence this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Come and magnify yourself. Have your way in this service. We yield to you this morning, Holy Spirit. For without you, there's no us. We thank you for your glorious presence, for loving us right off the way we are, for healing us when we call out to you for healing. We thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare and decree that you are Yahweh, that you are God. Now this morning, we're asking you to intervene in this service by your Spirit. Heal the sick. Heal those that are sick physically in their body. Heal those that are mentally sick, spiritually sick. And Father, we ask that you supply for those that are in need. Oh God, open doors that no one can close, and close those that no one can open. We ask you, God, to anoint this word. As we speak on the topic, Elijah answers the widow's request. Elisha answers the widow's request this morning. We can say that Jesus answers all requests. He answers all requests. We're going to be ministering from the book of Kings, pretty much. Might shoot over to Luke and 2 Timothy and Jude. We hit some other scriptures as we go in, but this is where we're going to be this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to start at verses 1. Let me see what I got up here. Verses 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Kings Verses 1, King James. Know that cry a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen or servants. And Elijah said unto her, what hast thou in thy house, in the house? And she said, thine handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Hallelujah, glory to God. You will read that scripture in 1 Kings 17 and 12. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. In other words, Elijah asked her, what do you have in your house that I can use? Hallelujah, glory to God. What do you have in your house that I can use? In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 12, he asked the woman to bring him some water. Hallelujah, glory to God. Elijah asked the woman to bring him some water. And while she was going to get the water, she said, I was just going to get some sticks. He says, then bake me a cake. And because she adhered to the man's of God's voice, she was blessed. But here, back here in 2 Kings, glory to God, Elisha is answering the woman, the widow's request. But he asked her a very important question. What do you have in your house? She says you got but a little oil, a little container of oil. Hallelujah, Jesus. Elijah told her to go and borrow vessels, not a few. Go borrow many vessels from her neighbors. Why? Because he is about to do a miracle, give her a miracle. He's about to bless her. The creditor has come and want to take her sons to make them slaves to pay off the debt that her husband probably procure. While he was alive, somebody got to pay the debt. Sometimes we accumulate so much debt that when we die, husband or wife, it is left now for the husband or the wife to pay all of this debt. Sometimes they have to apply for bankruptcy because they can't pay the debt that their husband or their wife left behind. Here in this text, verse 4 says, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Elisha told her, when you come back with the empty vessels, pour out from the one pot of oil that she have into these empty vessels the oil that she have. Now, I can imagine that this woman is listening to the prophet, and she is somewhat amazed in her spirit How am I going to pour all of these, pour this one container of all into all of these other containers? How is it going to work? It is not for her to really worry about how it's going to work. It's for her to just be obedient, just to do what the man of God says. Sometimes the man of God or woman of God would ask you to with that thing, or step 3 steps backward, or 3 steps forward, or move to the left or to the right. Just do it. The man of God is hearing from God and doing what they believe that they're hearing in this spirit. And all it takes for you to do is to do, is to be obedient to what the woman of God or man of God is saying. That's all it calls for. And then you'll see what God will do. Hallelujah. I'm using this Bluetooth today. I hope that the sound is coming through fine. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, the oil has stayed. See, as long as she had containers to put the oil and to pour the oil in, the oil continued to multiply. Elisha is asking the widow's request. He is answering. She need help. So she calls for the man of God to help her. He has a connection to God. The woman of God has a connection to God. So sometimes you got to call on the man of God or the woman of God. They've been spending time in God's presence, praying, fasting, and praying, with expectation that when they call upon their Savior from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Sovereign Lord, that he would answer. Hallelujah, glory to God. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. And it fell on a day that Elijah passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now, this woman was great, the Bible says. And Elisha would pass that way every day, going out ministering to people. Hallelujah, glory. This woman was a wealthy woman. She wasn't lacking anything in the natural. So she invited Elijah to come and eat, because she perceived that he was a man of God. He was doing the work of God. So she was supplying bread and water so that he could eat and relax. The Bible says that what you do for a prophet, when you bless the prophet, you will get a prophet's reward. You will be blessed. So he says, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, passeth by us continually. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Let us make a little chamber or a room, I pray thee. She's consulting her husband. She's not just going ahead and stepping high and said, this is a man of God, I'm going to do something for him. No, she asks her, she consults her husband. In the Logos Bible, she said to her husband, please now know that he is a holy man of God who is passing our way regularly. Let us make a small enclosed room upstairs and put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lampstand there for him, so that when he comes to us, he can turn and stay there. One day it happened that he came there and went to the upper room and lay down there. He said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. And he said to him, please say to her, look, you took all this trouble showing care for us. What is there for me to do for you? Elijah is speaking through his servant to the woman, to the Shunammite woman, here in the King James Version. It fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and laid there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, called this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to Gehazi, Elijah speaking to his servant, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us. With all this care, what is to be done for thee? What is thou bespoken for to the king? Listen. Or to the captain of the host. He said, shall we talk to the people, to the governmental officers on your behalf? This is what he's saying. She answered, I dwell among my own people. In other words, I don't need you. You don't need to talk to them. I'm well off. I'm wealthy. I have my husband. I have a nice home. You don't need to talk. And he said, what then is to be done for her? This Elijah talking to Elisha, talking to Gehazi, talking to his servant. Okay, Elisha. What then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, verily she has no child, and her husband is old. The woman is not asking for anything because she is wealthy. You know, when people have a lot of money, they feel like I don't need anything really. I can go to any store. I can shop at any food market. I can go any place. I have money. I'm well taken care of. But the servant, Elijah's servant is very observant to see that she don't have any children. So he told Elisha, she don't have any children. She don't have a child. Maybe you can do that for her. Hallelujah, glory to God. So he said call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. See, she didn't go in the room. They built a room, a chamber for Elijah and Gehazi, his servant. But she is very respectful. She didn't go in the room to try to get next to the man of God. She stood in the doorway by the threshold talking to Elijah. He probably sitting on his little chair, sitting back on the edge of the bed. And he said about this season, according to the time of life, in other words, according to the time of life, 9 months from now, the season, maybe it's springtime, maybe it's summertime, but he says, in this season, according to the time of life, you know, you take 9 months to have a baby, to birth a baby. He says, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Now, you should give birth to a son. And she said, nay. You remember Sarah and Abraham? when God said that he would grant them a son, and Sarah laughed, not believing, because she was old. Well, the Shunammite woman is saying the same thing. Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lay unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. And 9 months from the day that Elijah spoke to her, we're talking this morning, Elisha answered the widow's request. That's the topic this morning. Elisha answers the widow's request. Now the woman, she didn't believe she could have a child because she was old, and her husband was old, just like Abraham was old and Sarah was old. But God still had Sarah be impregnated and born, give birth to Isaac. Now the Shunammite woman, she told the man of God, don't lie to me. In other words, I know I can't give birth. I'm too old. And my husband is too old, but God can do. Is it anything too hard for God? God can do it. What you think is hard for God is very easy. All you have to do is sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride with God. Because God said he's going to do it. Yeah, just believe it, and that will settle the stuff. Just believe it, and you will receive it. So she gave birth. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. The boy had, we can surmise, because the Bible don't make it plain here, but we can surmise that the son, the little boy, had a brain tumor. And it was so bad that it burst. It burst and killed him while he was resting on his mother's. His mother was consoling him. You know how mama says, son, just lay on my knees, and she would just rub on the little boy's head. Rub on his head, just move her hand back and forth, just trying to console his pain. Hallelujah. And he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed. That's the first time she crossed the threshold of the room that she made for Elisha. She was a very respectful woman. She and her husband made the prophet a room that he could rest in when he passed by. But she never crossed the threshold when the prophet was there. She spoke to him from out the doorway. But this day in question, when her son died, the son that the prophet prophesied for her, that God gave her, she was upset. She was happy, and then she became upset. She wasn't able to give birth, but she gave birth. And now the child that she gave birth to died from a brain tumor. Do you hear me today? She is totally upset because she didn't ask for a child. Now you're going to hear all this in the message. I know the message, but this is what the Lord gave me last night. And I have to take it apart the way the Lord wants to take it apart for you to get an understanding that you can trust God. You can trust God, and the true man of God, the true woman of God, the true man of God that's living for God, the woman that's living for God, you can trust them. Not the one that's living to make money off of the gospel, that is selling the gospel for their needs. You can't trust them. They're deceivers. They're filled with deception. So you have to look for the one that's living this gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's get back into the message. I've got a lot to give you today in this. I just got about 5-6 scriptures, but there's a lot in them. So I have to take my time. I might do a part two of it. So let's just listen to what he says. Oh, glory to God. She said, He said about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son or give birth to a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him, one of the workers. The father said to one of the workers, carry him to his mother. The father is busy harvesting the wheat, the corn, whatever he planted at the time. This is how they made their money. This is how they got rich, because they were farmers. And so he said, take him to his mother. I don't have time to take care of him right now. I got to harvest the crop. And when he had taken him, the little boy took one of the laborers, took him to his mother, and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees to noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men, send me one of the servants, and one of the asses, one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God, come again. She did not tell her husband that her son had died to disturb him. The husband is in the field reaping the harvest. But she asked for one of the laborers, one of the servants, and one of the donkeys. There must be had a whole bunch of donkeys. So she asked, you know, they didn't have Jets and had Lexus and Mercedes-Benz and Rolls Royce and Lamborghini and Ferrari in the time. They had horses and donkeys and oxen would pull the cart and carry the corn and all that stuff to market. That's what how they use. So she didn't even tell her husband that the boy had died. So she got a servant. Her husband sent a servant and an ass, one of the asses. And we're talking this morning about Elijah. Elisha answers the widow's request. This is the topic. Elijah answered the widow's request. And we are coming out the King James and the Logos, but we're not hitting the Logos too much today. We're hitting the King James. So she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore will thou go to him today? Why are you going to him today? The husband is curious, but she's not giving him what he wants to know. No information. He said to her, wherefore will thou go to him today? Why are you going to the man of God? It is neither the new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Now, if you listen to that reply, she said to her husband, you can hear the faith. She has some belief, but she's still upset in the spirit, man, because the son, the only one that she didn't even ask for, that she got to the man of God, had died. He had a brain tumor and died on her lap. Now listen. Then she sat and asked and said to her servant, drive, in other words, go ahead, first of all, push this donkey, and go forward, lap not thy riding, don't slow up on no riding for me, except I bid thee, except I ask you to slow, but continue to write. Push on, hallelujah. We're going to see the man of God. So she went and came unto the man of God, to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite woman. Oh, my God. Behold, is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her. I say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Glory to God. This thing is just touching me like so, so heavy right now. Because I'm seeing so much that I haven't seen before the Lord has shown me. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed. Her soul is heavy within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. The woman now is prostrated before the man of God. She is in a position of humility, humbleness before the man of God. Her soul is heavy, full of sorrow. Her child is dying. He laid on the man of God's bed that she made for him in the room that she and her husband made for him. Then she said, did I desire a son, a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? This is pain. If you listen, as you read this verse 28 of 2 Kings chapter 4, you can see, you can hear the pain that's in this woman's heart. This one verse here is so heavy. It brings tears to your eyes. Will you really drop your spirit into it to really dissect it and hear what the Spirit of God is saying through this very verse, this verse here. She said, did I deserve his son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if thou salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. She says, man of God, I'm going to stay with you. You spoke this child into existence that I didn't ask for. Now the child is dead. Hallelujah. But this time he's getting cold laying on your bed, the bed that my husband and I gave to you. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to leave you because I know there's the power of God dwelling inside you. You can do something for me and my husband that we can't do for ourselves. We got money, but money cannot buy life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Gehazi passed on before them and lay the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet Elisha and told him, saying, the child is not awake. In other words, the child is dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon the face bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them, both for them. He shut the door and prayed unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember when the Jairus' daughter was sick and she died, and Jesus went into the room. He put out all the moon, glory to God. Even the parents went outside. And he went in, my God, and began to talk to the child and broke her back to life. He brought her back, broke her back into life. This is what Elisha is doing now. He put even the servants outside. The wife is outside. Everybody's outside. Only he is inside there. He and God and the child. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here when he said, I said, this is beautiful. This is powerful. This is what the word of God is safe. Oh, my God, I love the love of God. Elijah was come into the house. Behold, the child was dead and nailed upon the bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon him, upon the both of them, and prayed unto the Lord. He shut the door upon both of them. The door is closed. Only Elijah and the child, the boy, is in the room. And he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child warmed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you imagine this? Elijah laid on him, the child, and he put all of his body parts, every place that he could touch the child with, he touched the child. And the child began to get warm. The body of the child began to get warm. Hallelujah! That tells you that the child's body was cold when Elijah laid on that child. But now the body is getting warm. Elijah, the body is getting warm. We're getting back there, trying to get this other scripture up here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 10. I want to pull this scripture up here quick, fast, in a hurry. Acts 20 and 10. Hallelujah, glory to God.
Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him.
This is when the boy fell out the window. Paul was preaching so hard, and the boy was sitting up on the loft in the window and fell out the room. Fell out the window and fell on the concrete and died. And Paul fell on him, embracing him. The boy, life came back into him.
Verse 35 says in 2 Kings chapter 4, the child, then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes.
Elijah to the child begin to get warm. The Bible says that Elijah was walking to and fro. So he must have removed himself from off the child. And he began to go back and forth, walking back and forth. And I can see Elijah praying and talking to God and asking God to allow the spirit of this child to come back into this child and give this child life again so he could give him back to his mother, so his mother could show him to his father. Of course, she never told the father that the child was dead. Hallelujah.
And Gehazi, and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come into him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet again and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And Elijah came again to Gilgal,
and there was a dearth in the land.
And the sons of the prophet were sitting there before him. And he said unto the woman, set on the great pot and sieve pottage for the sons of the prophet.
The prophets were sitting. There was a famine in the land.
But Elisha is also in the land. The man of God, it's in the land. I want you to know this. There can be famine in the land, but when we are in the land, there is something going to happen. There is a difference that can take place. Miracles can take place when the man of God, woman of God, is in the land.
understand this. He told this woman, the servant, to set on a great pot and see if potage some herbs for the sons of the prophet.
And one went out into the field and gathered herbs and found a wild vine and gathered therefore wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of potage, for they knew them not. They didn't know what kind of gourds they were, but they put them in the pot anyway. So they poured out the meat to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the potage that they cried out and said, oh, God, there is death in the pot. There's four moves of the God in this whole text. Very powerful. But the Bible says that Elijah, that's the man of God, he's hearing from heaven all the time. He's doing stuff, but he's listening to God. They pour this stuff. As they begin to eat, they could feel all this pain in the intestines. They couldn't eat. Not eat they are. No longer could they eat. Death is in the pot. But he said, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Beersheba, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruit, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what shall I set this day before 100 men? And he said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. Hallelujah. Jesus set the 12 loaves and the fish, the 5 loaves and the fish, before the people. 2 fish. He put that fish. He had the baskets. And it looks like it wasn't enough for the people. But they were able to pick up 12 baskets full. The leftovers. He says, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. They should have leftovers. So they set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Let us go to chapter 8 of Elijah, of chapter 8 of 2 Kings. I've still got Elijah in my mind. Let's start at verse 1. Then spake Elijah unto the woman whose son had restored to life, saying, arise and go thou and thy household and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her husband and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the seventh year end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. See, once she leave the land, the people come and confiscate the land. The kings and the governors and all stuff. But she went and cried for the land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, a woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elijah restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of her field, since the day that she left the land, even until now. Everything. And Elijah came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick, and said, as it was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither. And the king said, oh, brother, if he's just going through me. The king said unto Hazael, take a present in thy hand and go meet the man of God. Inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover all this disease? Listen, excuse me. Kings and governors, they don't have the power that the man of God, the woman of God have. They have power, local power, to rule and reign over their cities. But they don't have the supernatural power dwelling on the inside of them. We do. And God, as I'm looking at this message, God wants us to recognize what's in us. And he wants us not to be afraid to trust him. To trust him when we're praying for people, when we're interceding for people, when we're dealing with circumstances that are beyond our control, he wants us to consult him. There's things that we can just go on and do that God allow us to do on our own accord. But there's things that we can't do. We need God. We need to consult him. We don't need to sit around in a pity party. Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you, Lord, because I recognize that you're the only one can heal. So, Father, we lift up this child before you this morning in the precious name of Jesus, knowing that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. You begin to talk to Father in that manner, knowing that it's because of Jesus. Father hears you. So he began to be concerned. So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels, burden, and came and stood before him and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? And Elijah said unto him, go, say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit the Lord showed me that he shall surely die. Elijah said unto him, go, say unto him, thou mayest surely recover. Howbeit the Lord showed me that he shall surely die. He settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed. And the man of God wept. And Gehazi said, why weepest, my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and will dash their children, and rip up their women with child. This king is full of evil. In Elisha, I've seen it in the spirit. And Hazael says, but what is thy servant at all that he should do this great thing? And Elijah answered, the Lord have showed me that thou shalt be king of Syria. Hazael shall be king of Syria. The Lord showed this to his servant. So he departed from Elijah and came to his master, who said to him, what said Elijah to thee? And he answered, he told me that thou shouldest surely recover. Now Elijah knows that he's going to die, but he told him that he should recover because of the things that he will do. He's going to recover for a short time, but he's going to die. Listen. And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face so that he died, and Hazael reigned in his stead. Glory to God. He was suffocated. This is what they call waterboarding now. They put a cloth or bag on your face, and they pour water on it. You can't breathe through the water, through the cloth. And you inhale water, you die. He died. And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it on his face so that he died. And here's a reign in his stead. And in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, being then king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. This is powerful. Go to chapter 5 of 2 Kings. Let's get some stuff in here. We're moving back and forth. Chapter 5 of Kings. Let's start at verse 5, verse 20. Glory to God. We're talking about Elisha answered the widow's request. Listen here in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, and starting at verse 20, he says, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master have spared Naaman, the Syrian, is not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Now you know when Naaman was fit of leprosy, and they want to buy the gift. They want to buy healing from the man of God. But Elijah told him to go dip in the river. He didn't want to go into the river that Elijah told him to go, because it was a messy river. He wanted to go in the river with the clear water, you know. But the servant said, if he bid you go in another place, would you go for your healing? So anyway, the long story short, they had brought all of this gift for Elijah to try to buy the miracle, but Elijah wouldn't take the gift. But how's he going to take this stuff? See, the miracles of God is not for sale. But when you hear preachers telling, well, give $1,000 and you're going to get this and do this and you're going to do it, no. They're not working for God. Miracles are not for sale. You give because you are led by the Spirit to give. Give to the ministry. We should be giving to the ministries all the time for the work to be done. He said that the minister is worthy of his, the labor is worthy of his meat. He's worthy. But it's not that you're going, well, if I just speak a word over you, if you just lay down the money there, I'll speak the word and you will be healed. But if you don't lay no money, you can't be healed. No, you are lying. The truth is not in you. Bible says, Gehazi said he would run and get some. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well, my master. He said, all is well. My master has sent me saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, talent of silver and two charges of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver and two bags and with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants. And they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hands and restored them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elijah said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? So where you came? Where do you went? Where do you go? And where you coming from? And he said, thy servant went nowhere. He didn't go nowhere. He lying now. I didn't go anywhere. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive gardens and vineyards and sheep and oxen and maidservants and men servants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from the presence a leopard as white as snow. Now you see that. Elijah knows the very thing that Elijah prayed for, to leave Naaman as he went down to the river and dipped seven times and came up with flesh like a baby. Now the same leprosy now that went down the river now come up out the river and on now Gehazi because of disobedience. People want to do what they want to do. God is leading his servants to speak his word as his ambassadors, as his very mouthpiece in his earth realm. The ones who want to do this thing for real without going after opposite lucre. We're going to get what we need. God's going to give us what we need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I see that, well, I was planning this trip here to the Caribbean. Now we were saying I was making some money and I was giving out a lot. And we were saying, well, how are we going to have enough money to bless folk when we get there? We go to Luke chapter 18. And how are we going to do this and how are we going to do that? How are we going to have enough funds for ourselves, for us to have a great time? But we're not going to make money. We're going to bless. Blessed by the sharing the word and by helping some of the poor people. And what the Lord did was so powerful. Who was getting ready to book the flight and all that stuff. And I remember years ago when I was in the world and I was making money, but my credit was screwed up. And I couldn't get an airline credit card. And when I had the money in the bank to buy this
by paying for the ticket. And when I get on the phone and talking to the people, they tell me straight up, they say, well, Mr. Callender, your credit is good, very good. And you don't need to spend your funds right now. We can issue you a credit card with our airline. I said, wow, I didn't even ask for it. Because God is working when we're not doing anything. He's working for us. When we're not asking, God is working for us, making a way where it seems to be no way. And God did that. Here in the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regard men. He didn't have no respect for God nor for man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. She wanted help dealing with her enemy. And he would not for a while. But after he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He said, I would give her justice. I will move on her behalf. Because if I don't, she's going to continue to come, and it's going to wear me out. She wasn't going to give up. She wasn't going to faint. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Wouldn't God protect you? Will not God protect you when you were going through? He is protecting us when we don't even call for his protection. We cry out in prayer. We are praying. God answers before you even open your mouth, because he knows what you need. Verse 8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Do you have faith enough to trust in God when you're going through? Huh? Do you have faith to trust him? There's a lot on this text that I minister out of 2 Kings chapter 4, chapter 8, and chapter 5. In the Logos, there's a lot of side notes. But God wanted us to come straight out of the book. You know, it's time that he let us come straight from the book, so we can see for ourselves what he's showing us, not what somebody already seen and put in the book. Here in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and Paul says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You have some folk that have a form. They look the part, sound the part, but they don't have no power. They don't have no power. They're not going after the very essence of who God is. David wanted what God had. That's why he said, created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. He wanted what God had. Solomon wanted. That's why he said, give him wisdom and knowledge.
Give them an understanding that he can judge the people rightfully. These folk are going after, they want to be millionaires. They look the part. You see, T.D. Jakes can let a homosexual, bisexual lay his hands on him for proclaiming that he is anointed, that he has the Spirit of God. Because the man gave him a check for $1 million for his birthday. And he claimed that he was touched by the Holy Ghost. But have this put on this show for people. You don't have to put on a show for God to move. You just have to have an open heart, a heart that is filled with the anointing. God to move. Obedience moves God, not sacrifices. They're making sacrifices. I'm going to give it $2 or $3 million, let people see. I'm coming to the altar, and I'm counting my money so people can see how much money I'm putting on the altar. They're having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. They seem to be religious. They feel like they look like they have it. They have the robe. They have the mitres on their head. They have the staff in their hand. I went to a convocation in South Carolina. Thousands of people was there. And the man who called himself a chief apostle coming, he had a staff in his hand like Moses. Stuff on his head, ring. And the men in the rooms, all of these men that called themselves apostles and archbishops and all this stuff. And apostles are naked in the room, changing from their ordinary clothes and going into the robes. They said, "Apostle, you're going in the room?" I said, "No, I'm not going in the room with that stuff." Called their bisexual. And this stuff is happening. You see the show on the thing on YouTube yesterday with a man. It's on YouTube right now. It's been there before. With this man, Apostle Allen, out of Atlanta. He married to another man. Called him the first gentleman. And he got this big conference going on. In July, they got this big conference where they have all these preachers coming from everywhere, going to this with a homosexual man, a preacher who called himself apostle, and he married to another man, putting on this big conference. See, he got a big church. See, he got a big mega church in Atlanta, Georgia. And Pastor Jamal Brandt, is going to be the speaker, the guest speaker for the conference. We in a very terrible situation, and we need to really pray for the church. I'm telling you something, we need to pray for the church. Let's go to the book of Jude. Let's go to the book of Jude and see what the Lord is saying here. Jude. Hallelujah. This is the last scripture that I am releasing today by the Spirit of the Almighty God. Jude, talking about condemnation of the ungodly false prophets. Now, verse 5, now I want to remind you, although you know anything once and for all, that Jesus, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, the second time destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their own domain, but deserted their proper dwelling place, he has kept in eternal bonds under deep gloom for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the towns around them indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, in the same way as these are exhibited as an example by undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Verse 8, fight that in the same way also these men, because of their dreams, defile the flesh and reject authority and blaspheme majestic beings, but Michael the archangel, when he argued with the devil, disputing concerning the body of Moses, did not dare to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Verses 10. But these persons blaspheme all that they do not understand, and all that they understand by instinct, like the irrational animals. By these things, they are being destroyed. Woe to them, for they have traveled in the way of Cain and have given themselves up to the error of Balaam for gain, and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. Verse 12. These are the ones feasting together without reverence, hidden reefs at your love feast, caring for themselves, waterless clouds carried away by winds, late autumn trees without fruit, thrice dead uprooted, wild waves of the seas foaming up their own shameful deeds, wandering stars for whom the deep glooms of darkness had been reserved for eternity. And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, also prophesied about these people, saying, behold, the Lord came with tens of thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment against all and to convict all the ungodly concerning all the ungodly deeds that they have committed in an ungodly way, and concerning all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers, discontented, proceeding according to their desires, and their mouth speaking pompous words, showing partiality to gain an advantage. Verse 17. You, dear friends, remember the words proclaimed. Here he talking about persevere in the love of God. Beforehand by the apostle of the Lord Jesus, for they said to you, in the end time there will be scoffers, followers according to their own ungodly desires. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly, not having the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt, and save others by snatching them from the fire, and have mercy on others with fear, hidden even the tunic stained by the flesh. Now, to the one who is able to protect you from stumbling and make you to stand firm before his holy blame, stand before his glory blameless with exaltation, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, and power, and authority before all time, and now, and for all eternity. Amen. Here in this book, Paul tells you why they deny the power. Why they have a form of godliness and why they deny the power. Because it's all about their flesh. It's all about materialistic things.
this woman that Elijah spoke to, dealt with, was a rich woman. The Bible says she was wealthy. She lacked nothing. But Elijah gave her a son. When she got to understand the fullness of God's power, she was obedient to the word of God. When the time came that there was a famine and Elijah instructed her to leave her home, she left. Most people would have said, no, this is my nice house. I got all my nice furniture, all of this stuff I got in here, all my garments and stuff, all the silver vessels and the gold vessels and stuff that they have in here. I can't leave it. But she left. And she was able to regain all. I come to tell you today that we are in perilous times. And men and women of God are turning from God. They're turning to the world because they feel the world is going to keep them. Remember the last time I told you about the movie about the rapture and about the pastor who preached for 40-some years. But when the rapture came, he was left behind. I'm saying this to you today that because I want us to focus. I want us to focus on life, life everlasting, in that whatever God give us in this earth, while we're here in this earth, we're going to use it to help the poor, to help the widows, to help our families, to help ourselves. We're going to use it, but we're not going to put our faith and our trust in material things. We're not going to do it because he told us very plain what we're the profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? He told us that. Jesus told us that. But he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. Because that's what it's all about. The Father getting the glory out of your life. If you don't do anything else in your lifetime, make sure that what you do brings glory to the Father. Whatever you say and do brings glory to the Father. That is your calling. Your calling is not to go there and do every little thing that you can do so you can make money, so you can be rich. And then once you get rich, you leave the poor. You say, I'm too big now to fellowship with them. I'm big. I got it going on. You know how we do. I got it going on. I got to hook up with T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen and Creflo Dollar and Juanita Bynum. I got to hook up with the big pastors and the prophets and stuff. Then I got to connect with them, you know, and we strive for that stuff. But you know what I want to connect with? I want to connect more with Jesus. I want to connect. I don't know about you, but I want to connect more with him. I want to get a better understanding of this call that's upon my life. So I'm striving for that. Each day I wake up. This morning, I tell the truth, I was so tired. I didn't feel like coming on Blog Talk Radio today. I didn't feel like doing, but it's not about my feelings. It is about my call, what he wants me to do, what he called me to do. So I say, you know what? I'm going to get on here. I'm going to put it on and do what the Lord says. And then I ain't even have tea this morning. And usually I make my herb tea in the morning, which energized me. I said, well, come on here and do this thing, do my assignment, and then I can relax. Now, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us. And, Lord, we're not taking it lightly that you're speaking to us and speaking through us. And, Father, I pray that you just set the atmosphere just right for when I get to the Caribbean. Set it right, Lord. Hold the plane up in the air. And, Lord God, give me a word while I'm sitting on that plane with my computer. And I am running through the scriptures in the computer. Lord, give me a word for when I get there and I get over there to visit Apostle Henry, that the word would be so cutting not a sweet word, but a cutting word, a word that would convict all of us to get closer to you. That is my desire, Father. Lord Jesus, there's somebody today that don't know Jesus. And we want to read from my manuscript I got here. I said, your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it: heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity with God will have been chosen for you. If you die right now, this is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity before God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven, and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own effort. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone shall boast. Number three, you must believe that only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. He said that he was the way. He was the way, the only way. And number four, you must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I'm still young. I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. You do not need to be old to be near eternity. Number one, you do not have to be old to be near eternity. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again, and these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it. Because the only way to reach this blessing, you know, salvation is a blessing, is through Jesus. He said, behold, I am coming quickly, Revelation 22:7b. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him, John 3:36b. Now, the Bible says in Acts 2:38 that Peter told them, he says, to repent. You see what he says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, Well, let's start at verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. No other name. Jesus is the only one that can save your soul. He is the only one. He paid the price. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever, that means anybody. The Bible said that God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and 8. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Also said that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Jesus came to save the world, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what the Bible says. He come to save and to seek that which is lost. We are lost. The Bible says all have sinned. We were lost in sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the only way you can have this gift, this blessing that Peter talked about in the book of Acts, the only way you can have this blessing is through salvation, through accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way you can get it. And you get it by repenting and accepting the finished work of the cross, the work that was done at the cross. Christ being crucified, nailed, pierced, and crowned with thorns on the cross for your sins, for all sins, for my sins. You have to accept this as a reality, because we're living in a world where the people are saying that they don't believe that Christ died on the cross. They don't believe that there was a crucifixion. A lot of people are saying it now. You know, they've been seeing it for a while. But we know the truth. The truth is in the book. Hallelujah. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good day. It's a good day. You can receive salvation now. People are dropping off, but that's fine. We finished the message. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, the one who paid the ultimate price for your sins, you can accept him now. You can receive him now. Just say this prayer that I'm receiving here. The Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I also recognize that you're the only one that can save my soul. So today, Lord Jesus, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system. Jesus, my heart is open, and I'm coming to you this morning with great expectations, knowing that you're the only one that can save me, the only one that can set me free again, make my life whole. If you just said that prayer and you believe it, you invite Jesus in your heart, he's coming. He's in your heart. He's in you. Just begin to say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for saving me, Lord. I thank you for setting me free and making me whole again. In Jesus' name. Now get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts. So you get a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ that we teach and preach about. and then call up a pastor, preacher, teaching them that you received the gift of salvation. You're studying the word, but you want to be baptized in Jesus' name, according to Acts 2 and 38. And then before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and everybody that you can call up. You know, invite them to come, and even your enemies to come and be part of this great day of celebration. This great celebration. Hallelujah. And that day, that at that time you're gonna get baptized, you're going into this liquid grave, and you're saying that you are leaving all the things that kept you apart from Him, that blocked you from coming to Him, you're leaving in that grave. But when you come up out that grave, you're coming up to righteousness in Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're coming up to righteousness in Him. And then when you come out of there, rejoicing like I did when I got baptized, we want you to find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved, get yourself situated in ministry. Be part of what God is doing in this earth realm. Hallelujah, glory to God. Just get yourself involved. Be part of the ministry. How you do something, work for the kingdom, and the kingdom will work for you. God bless you. I love you guys so much. Pray your strength in the Lord. Thank you, Brother Deacon Fraser, for coming on. And Apostle Stewart, Minister Jones was on, and Prophetess Kershey was on. We thank God that you all come on and heard this strong word that the Lord gave us this morning. We pray that it touch your heart as well as it touched mine. Glory to God. We are going to be most likely try to be here tomorrow, come in here tomorrow and see what the Lord is saying to us. We're going to come in here, and hopefully the Lord will give us a strong word tonight, this evening, and we can go in and release this word, release the word tomorrow. Keep me in your prayers as we're going to pretty much just a couple of days next week. We're not going to preach the whole week. We'll release it next Friday. But keep us in prayer as we travel, especially when we're in the air. Keep us in prayer because, you know, there's nothing holding up the plane up but gravity. So pray for us while we're in the air. We're in a war time, you know, so pray that we bypass the waters. Get there safe and get back safe. And pray God strengthen us and that the doors that are open for us to preach will remain open. God bless you, Father. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them. You love them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. Stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in his word, Matthew chapter 5 and 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. God bless you all, and God keep you all. God make it possible for you to enjoy life while you're here, that no hurt, harm, or danger befall any of you, and the Lord keep you until he call you home. God bless you. I love you guys, but God loves you more. Have a blessed day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Can you say yes? $100 for that one.
Mm-hmm.